ओम अघनाथ मिलन निरंजनास्वाहाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैताग्रहार श्रीवासदिगौरभक्तवृन्द, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री गोपाल की जाए, गौर भक्तवृंद की जाए, गौर प्रेमानंद की हरि हरि बोल। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, 30th shlok, 30th verse. I'll read one line of the Sanskrit, then you can repeat if you'd like to follow. Sa evedam sasar jagre.
Sa evedam sasar jagre.
Bhagavan atma mayaya.
Bhagavan atma mayaya.
Sadasa rupaya chasho.
Sadasa rupaya chasho.
Gunamaya guno vibhu.
Gunamaya
guno vibhu.
Sahivam, also evadam, sorry. Sevadam sasar chakre bhagavan atma mayaya. Sadasa rupaya chasho gunamaya. Gunamaya guno vibhu. So that it was certainly done, this sasarja created agre before Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, atma mayaya, by his personal potency, sat the cause, asat the defect, rupaya by forms, cha and aso, the same Lord. Gunamaya, in the modes of material nature, agunaha, transcendental, vibhu, the absolute. In the beginning of the material creation, the absolute personality, that absolute personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, in his transcendental position, created the energies of cause and effect by his own internal energy. Purport. The position of the Lord is always transcendental because the causal and effectual energies required for the creation of the material world were also created by him. He is unaffected, therefore, by the qualities of the material modes. His existence, form, activities, and paraphernalia all existed before the material creation. He is the all-spiritual. He is all-spiritual and has nothing to do with the qualities of the material world, which are qualitatively distinct from the spiritual qualities of the Lord. So this is an important point for Srila Prabhupada making here. And this is, Prabhupada is taking his commentary also from previous commentaries. So this is made not only by Srila Prabhupada, but by previous acharyas also. The cause of the cause and effect world, the world of causality, we call it, Karana ocean, Karana Dakai ocean, or Karana ocean, means the causal ocean. And the causal ocean is an expansion from the spiritual realm. Mahavishnu creates the causal ocean and then lies down in that ocean. It means that the causal ocean is something that is made specifically for the purpose of creating the material worlds. The material worlds are created out of this causality, this principle of cause and effect. Every effect has a cause, just like sunshine. As a cause, sunshine is the effect of what? the sun globe. The burning on the sun is supposed to cause the sunshine, according to the modern idea. And the hydrogen in the sun is inflamed. And from that flame, the intense fire, the sunshine is coming. Heat and light coming out. Whenever there's fire, there's heat and also light. So there are ideas that the sun is like that. Producing is the cause. The hydrogen is burning, and that's causing the sunlight to come, the effect, cause and effect. And everything in the world supposedly acts in that, by that principle. Newton's law says that the gravity is pulling the bodies of material bodies together. And the earth is being drawn, the earth is a certain body, and it's being drawn by the sun. And if some planet passes by the earth, it will also draw the earth to that body. If the moon passes over the oceans, it will draw the water up toward the moon. So the cause and effect, this nature of this world. Everything is influenced by something else. Everything is caused by something other than itself. So that is causality. Cause and effect are different. If cause comes first, then effect comes. The effect does not produce the cause produces the effect. So this whole material world has a cause also. The continental ocean even has a cause. So Krishna is above the cause and effect because he is creating the whole idea of cause to begin with. The whole plane of cause, we can say, the whole sphere of cause and effect is coming from what is beyond cause and effect. Therefore, Krishna is not subjected to the same rules as the causal world. What is the difference between the causal world and the spiritual world? How can there be a world without cause and effect? Can anyone explain? I talked about this at another time. Does anyone remember? Anyone can explain in their own way what they think?
Maybe if Krishna is the cause of all causes, then the origin has no cause. The origin is, everything is derived from the origin.
Right. Origin, how can the origin have a cause, right? It's causing everything else. So they say that's an argument that will be challenged. You will be challenged on that argument. They will, the atheists will say, you're saying everything has a cause, but God, when it comes to God, God caused the world, but then what caused God? Then what is your argument? How you can say everything has a cause, but God doesn't have a cause? They may say something like, well, why should the first thing be God? Why can't the first thing be something else? That we can say the flying spaghetti monster. They have some word like that, flying spaghetti monster. Why not we say the flying spaghetti monster is first by God? And the flying spaghetti monster has no cause. Then how is it different from what you're saying? Can you reply?
Well, you could say that the creation is Brahman, and yes, Brahman has an origin, the origin. So in fact, if you look at God as being created in that conception, I suppose you could say that Brahman himself is created by the original source, the origin of everything. And I guess it's human speculation to think in terms of comprehension that they can understand, so to step outside of their own comprehension sometimes is a little bewildering for many people. I'm sure you have a much better answer, Maharaj.
I have an answer, a good answer. But I want to see if anyone has learned what I said at one time. Maybe I said it a couple of times. Does anyone remember what answer I gave? Dr. Craig? I'm picking you out.
I gotta unmute to do it. The question was that Krishna is the cause of all causes, or?
Yes, yes. How can we explain that Krishna is different from cause and effect sphere, the sphere of cause and effect? He is the creator of that. But when someone asks you what caused God, what will you answer?
God had no cause. The material energy is the only one that needs a cause, because it's temporary. The nature of the material universe is temporary. So everything, without the balance of light and dark and good and evil, it wouldn't exist. And God is transcendental, and there is nothing like that necessary.
That's a good answer. Cause. This material world has a cause, means that it was created. Right? What has a cause? It comes into being. It has to come into being. So what comes into being is not permanent. It means it has a beginning, and it can also have an end, right? Is that what you're saying?
Right. A cause is a material concept. Only because we live in a material energy, we are born and live and die.
But we said not only material, because we say that God is the cause of cause and effect.
Cause of all causes.
Yes. So it's not only material, isn't it? If he is the cause, then how can it be material only? But the point that I thought you were making, which is a good point, is that this material world has a cause. Therefore, it comes into being at a certain time. Thus, it is not eternal. Right? It has a beginning. It's finite, therefore. What has a beginning and has an end, that is a finite thing. A rock has a place where the rock begins and a place where the rock ends.
Right.
So it's a finite object, finite body. So whatever has a beginning and an end, that's all finite. So anything that is caused by something else, that thing that has been the effect of that cause, that will have a finite quality to it. And God can't be finite. He can cause things that appear in the causal world. But he himself cannot have a cause, otherwise that would mean he had a beginning. And if he had a beginning, it means he would have to be a finite thing. And that's not what we mean by God. God is infinite. We can say, well, how to understand the infinite? That's a different thing, a different question. But the point is that the infinite doesn't have a cause, otherwise it would be infinite. Only the finite can have a cause or a beginning. But because God is beginningless, Adi Purusham, the original, is the origin, as Shamsundar said. He can't have any. He doesn't have something that creates him. He doesn't have something that causes him. His nature is to be infinite, uncaused, and rather he causes everything. Everything is coming from him. That means that it's created by him or from him. He doesn't need to. But he himself doesn't need to be created by anything, otherwise that thing would be God. Another way of answering the question would be like that. What is caused is finite, has a beginning. And what has a beginning can also have an end. The beginning is the end. If you say the rock begins here, it is also the place where the rock ends, right? the beginning of the rock is the end of the rock. Not that you have to go all the way around the other end of the rock to say that's the end. No, the beginning and the end are the same point. The limit of where the rock starts is also the end of where the rock ends. So God can't be like that, limited. We don't define God in that way. God is defined as what is unlimited or infinite. Unlimited means unlimited. No beginning and no end. Or eternal. Okay, very good. Anyone else would like to say? Kartik, do you have any idea?
No more has. Sorry.
No? Okay. Krishna Prabhu, how about you? You always have something interesting to say.
I remember one of your Sanskrit saying, Sarva Karanam, I cannot complete it, but how it goes?
Sarva Karana Karanam. Sarva Karanam. The cause of all causes. Karana means all cause. Just like we said, Karana ocean. All right, then let me say what my answer is. Krishna is the cause of himself. And if we say God has a cause, yes, we say, all right, Krishna is the cause of himself. He causes himself. There can't be anything different from him that causes him except to wear himself. And to be the cause of oneself means to be free. That is the definition of freedom, free will. Your will is not determined by anything other than yourself. That is called free will. Self-determination. God is self-determined. He is free. He has a personality, and any person has to have free will. If you are a person, it means you automatically have free will. Right? And to have free will means that you can cause your own self to do what you want. You are the cause of whatever you do. That is freedom. If something else causes you to do something, then you're not free. If someone holds a gun to your head and says, yeah, do this, pick that up, go here, go there, then you're not free, isn't it? Because someone else is controlling you. But if you control yourself, then you're free. Without fear, without any dependence on anyone, that is called freedom. And only God has that position. We are depending on so many things for our existence. Well, we can't live without air. We can't see without light, isn't it? We can't survive without food. But we can't produce any of those things ourselves. We can't produce our own food from the scratch, from the atoms. We can't produce light. Out of nothing. We have to have some means to do that. If the means are not there, then the light would not be produced. Like that air. We may produce a little air from the water, putting water and electricity in the water. We'll get a little oxygen, but that's not air. Air means the atmosphere. We can't live like that. So we are depending on those things for our existence. So we can't say we are free. We are independently free. We are determined by so many things. But God is not like that. He creates himself. When he says, let there be air, there's air. Let there be water, there's water. Let there be earth, there's earth. He creates it out of his own will, free will. So he is not depending on those things. They are depending on him. And thus, he is the only really source of all freedom. He is the original free will, and therefore we possess that to some finite degree. In an independent way, we are also free. Just like in the state. Our freedom is dependent on the government. If we follow the government rules, we are free. If we don't follow, we have to go to jail. Our freedom is curtailed. So we have limited freedom like that. We have free will. Doesn't mean that we don't have free will. But it's restricted. It can be restricted. Even we are a good citizen means we are following the law. So it's still restricted. Even though we are free. Something like that. God is there. He's the only one with absolute freedom. And we are dependent freedom. So it's important to understand how this, how God and the causal world are connected. Good for arguing with those who try to say. I've seen so many times people are proposing this obstacle to the religious claim of God. You say everything is caused. Then who caused God? That is their question. So we can come with different answers for that. Because God doesn't have anything to do with the material world. The qualities of the material world that exist here, they don't have any bearing on God's nature. It's of a different nature. The originating nature is different from the nature that is originated, from Him. Painting, the artist paints a picture. Picture reveals something about the artist's skill, something about the artist's imagination, something about the artist's ideas represented in the picture. But the artist is not the picture. Picture has so many less qualities than the artist. Maybe a very beautiful picture may inspire some sense of beauty in us, some sense of appreciation will come in us. Attachment to that painting may come. But the person, the mind that has created that, how much beautiful that must be. How much attractive that must be to create such a thing. So the artist and the painting, they're not, the qualities of one of the painting cannot be there found, cannot be matched with the actual qualities of the artist. Artist must have more beauty, more harmony, more imagination than was represented by the painting. And the painting can create another painting. Okay. Oh, Radha Krishna, you are there? Can you hear us? Dhanavads, Majagopal. Radha Krishna Prabhu, can you hear? This is your first time joining us. Can you hear me speaking, Radha Krishna? Yes. By your mic, you don't have a microphone. Is that it? You can't speak? Okay. All right. Glad we're happy you can join us. Very good. Yes, we'd like to hear your voice. Radha Krishna Prabhu is also a scientist, so we can see what he has to say about some of these things that we discussed. Today we're discussing why God, if everything has a cause, then why does God not have a cause? The scientist, when the atheists ask, you say that God caused the world, created the world, then who created God? think I would reply to that. We just gave a couple of good answers. Like everyone considers that good answers, definitive answers. All right. Next. We go to the next verse. Guy. Very nice devotee. Next verse, 1, 2, 31. Chapter, volume 1, chapter 2, text 31. I'm going to say one line of the Sanskrit, then you can repeat after me, if you like. Taya vila shiteshu. Sorry.
Taya vila.
Sorry, I didn't say the whole line yet. I'm trying to figure out what is that saying here. Taya vila shiteshu veshu.
Taya vila shiteshu
veshu.
Guneshu gunavan niva.
Guneshu gunavan niva.
Antak pravishta abati.
Antak pravishta abati.
Vijnanena vijnanena vritrimbita. Vijnanena vritrimbita. Vritrimbita. Difficult word. Taya vilashiteshveshu guneshu gunavanniva antak pravishta abhati vijnanena vritrimbitaha. Taya, by them, vilashiteshu, although in the function eshu, these guneshu, the modes of material nature, gunavan, affected by the modes, eva, as if antaha, within, pravishtaha, entered into, abhati, appears to be, vijnanena, by transcendental consciousness, vijrimbitaha, fully enlightened. Bhakti Craig, would you like to read the translation and purport?
Yes, Maharaj, we'll get in there.
Thank you.
After creating the material substance, the Lord Vasudeva expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in this transcendental position. The living entities are separated part and parcels of the Lord, and the conditioned living entities who are unfit for the spiritual kingdom are strewn within the material world to enjoy matter to the fullest extent. As Paramatma, an eternal friend of the living entities, the Lord, by one of his plenary portions, accompanies the living entities to guide them in their material enjoyment and to become witness to all activities. While the living entities enjoy the material conditions, the Lord maintains his transcendental position without being affected by the material atmosphere. In the Vedic literature, Shruti, it is said that there are two birds in one tree. One of them is eating fruit of the tree, while the other is witnessing the actions. The witness is the Lord, and the fruit eater is the living entity. The fruit eater, living entity, has forgotten his real identity and is overwhelmed in the fruit of activities of the material conditions. But the Lord, Paramatma, is always full of transcendental knowledge. That is the difference between the super soul and the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, the living entity, is controlled by the laws of nature, while the Paramatma, or the super soul, is the controller of the material energy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So how can we understand what this is explaining? After creating the material substance, the Lord expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of his created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. Who can give an example that might explain how this happens from our own experience within this world? Is there any example you can think of? Anyone is welcome to try to answer that. Is there any situation in which we create something and then enter into it? What does it mean, enter into it? And that while being within it, one is actually transcendental, understands is apart, that he's apart from it. What is any examples you can give? When that occurs? Yes?
In Bhagavad Gita itself, we have an example of sky. The sky pervades all the space. Still, everything is underneath it, but it's not. It's got its own unique position.
Okay. Good example. Sky pervades everything, and yet it remains separate from everything.
Devotional service.
Yes.
We can enter it and remain transcendental, right?
Huh? No. How is that?
Entering into devotional service is not transcendental?
Yes. Oh, that is transcendental. Yes, that's not exactly what we were saying. We're saying that
sage or yogi can be detached.
Yeah, yogi can do that. He can then go in any place, take even the body of an animal, and still he has control over the situation, over himself. But we don't have to have such obscure examples. Another question says, an example may be a company. We may set up or create, we may hire workers and enter into the office, but we yet are yet. Okay, that's a good example. We create our company, corporation. Yeah, we remain in charge of it. Huh? We are part of the company. We become the president of the company. Yet, or we may become anyone in the company. But if we maintain the majority shares, then we are still in control of it somehow. That's a good example. And let's say a person is a writer and he makes a play. He writes a play. And the actors, they all enter into the parts of the play, the characters of the play. They become fully absorbed in the characters of the play, but they don't forget their identity. Right? They still remain, oh, I am so-and-so. Although I am playing King Lear or some other person. They take on all the symptoms of that particular character in the play, crying and dancing and happy and whatever it may be, angry or whatever. Even they may become a murderer in the play. And they feel great anger at whom they're killing. And portray that to the public. But still they remain aloof from the play. Who their identity is not, unless they're crazy. But if they can maintain their identity apart from their character, even they put their whole heart and soul into portraying that character, they can still remain aloof from that. And then when the play is over, they come back to their original identity. Something like that. At the same time, we may have the experience when watching a movie. You become so absorbed in the characters of the movie that you actually begin to experience their symptoms of sadness and begin to cry, or of comedy and begin to laugh. Isn't it? You become so absorbed by the flickering images on the screen. You take them to be real, and you take yourself to be identified with them. That's what happens in the material world. We become identified with the shadow, with the image of the body and the characters. are simply flickering. They are simply here today, gone tomorrow. But Krishna never becomes like that. We become like that. We become bewildered by our identification with what is not ourself. Krishna never comes into that position of ignorance, being covered by his creation. He maintains in himself in the body, in the position of wisdom, transcendentally. That's his nature. He can't become covered by his own creation. He can't forget his own position. To some degree, he does forget. Seems to forget it, let us say. But that is another type of illusion. In the spiritual world, we have yoga maya. And that is Krishna's yoga maya also. The illusion potency is there in the spiritual world that allows the living entities and the expansions of the Lord to experience different symptoms of ecstasy.
Hare Krishna, can anyone hear me?
Yes, who's that?
This is Hare Krishna. I have a microphone now. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Hare. Yes. Yes, I can hear you now.
Thank you.
Haribol. I can hear you, yes. Are you able to hear us?
Yes.
Right.
I just didn't want, I never used one before, so I was.
Oh,
I
see.
Around.
Okay, very good. All right, good. Yes. A little experimenting is necessary. And you know, so this yoga maya is also a deluding potency on the spiritual beings. And Krishna comes under the influence of that, especially when she's in the form of Radharani. He becomes so attached to Srimati Radharani that he forgets that he is the supreme being. And he feels attachment for her, becomes lost in her. There are some pastimes like that, where he thinks himself to be Radharani and not Krishna. And the same thing with Radharani. She can't remember whether she's herself or Krishna. They become so entwined. You may have seen some pictures of that, where Radha and Krishna are entwined in one another. Identity and difference simultaneously. So yoga maya has that potency, but that potency is also Krishna's potency. It's coming from him. And its special quality is it can even attract Krishna. Krishna is the master of all, the Lord. And yet he becomes the servant of his devotee. Why? Because he becomes so enamored of his devotee's love. He does not know how to reciprocate properly. And whatever the devotee wants, he's trying to serve that devotee. The positions become reversed. The devotee is serving Krishna, but then Krishna wants to serve his devotee. This is the magic potency, the magical potency of love by which the spiritual world is conducted, on which the spiritual world is conducted. And love is based upon freedom, free will. There's no force there. So that kind of illusion we like. Kind of illusion that is based upon lust, selfishness, that will produce tragic results. Finite results. It won't be satisfying. Ultimately, they lead to more delusion and destruction. But in the spiritual, the delusion that is experienced there leads to more happiness, more love. So like that. After creating the material substance, the Lord expands himself and enters into it. Expands himself means that he projects himself, just like you project yourself into the role of a particular character in a drama. Or when you are writing a story, you're projecting your thoughts into the paper, into the story of the that's written on the paper. You become the story, and the story takes on a life of its own. And you're writing that, producing that. So like that, this expansion of Krishna, you could say he projects himself. And it's only the projection of his own thoughts, his own ideas, that is creating, just like the artist creates an art for painting. The Lord creates this material universe. But then the material universe itself is also creating itself in some certain degree, because the actions of the most of material nature, is the Lord is not affected by that, but they are reacting on one another and producing their own nefarious results, which the Lord has nothing to do with. He gives that responsibility to us for creating that situation. And it starts from, the Lord has to throw his glance, has to somehow originate with Krishna, and then it takes on a life of its own. But then he can also enter into that as Paramatma, because nothing is separate from Krishna. Can't be. If there's anything separate from God, then there are two truths, not one. Voice is fading. Oh, okay. My voice may be a little weak sometimes. It's my own conditioning. Anyhow, like that, we can understand these things, I think. If we try to think of some examples, we can try to understand what does this mean, how these things are possible. It is not that it is without possibility to understand. Oh, what's that? Someone has a question?
No, Ajay, I was saying that actually my computer is flickering, so that's why your voice is fading.
Oh,
it's not. Your health is fine, and you can actually your voice is good, really good. It's the computer which is flickering. My computer which is flickering, so probably.
Oh, all right. What can we do? That's the nature of this medium we are using. Now, Jonathan is trying to make a recording, and that may also be affecting the recording. Radha Krishna mentioned that he was having some difficulty hearing the recording from last time. It may not be due to your program. Nature of the internet.
I have a good signal this time, Maharaj.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good.
This time, the flickering which he's mentioning, the voice, fading voice, is because of that.
I see.
Yeah, just because I don't have enough space.
What? I'm projecting myself into that. I'm thinking it is me. But I think it's also me, actually. I also have a little bit difficulty speaking sometimes because of my voice. So, who is here now? Sushant Prabhu, Haribol, and Tripad Prabhu, Prajagopal, Haribol. Haribol. So, I think anything else, any other comments or questions on this purported verse? The two birds in the tree, one eating the fruit, and the other is observing the meeting, witnessing. Atma and Paramatma. The witness is the Lord, and the fruit eater is living entity. Is So, well, with the fruit of activities, living at the beginning. But the Lord is always in transcendental position. That is the difference between the super soul and the soul, conditioned soul. Anyone have anything to say about that or any questions they'd like to ask? Yes?
Mark, what's that? Is it too trite to suggest that atheist scientists, the closest atheist scientists can come to conceive of God is the concept of infinity?
I couldn't hear your question, Prabhupada. Your voice was not clear.
Oh, sorry, Roger. I was saying, is it too trite to suggest that the closest that an atheistic scientist can come to conceive of God is atheistic scientists? Comprehension of infinity.
Could anyone hear clearly what Shyamasundara Prabhu said? I still couldn't hear it.
I don't know, Maharaj. It was very breaking, Maharaj.
Very difficult. Maybe you can write your question. Somehow it's your voice seems very muted. I'm not sure why, but it's not
okay,
coming out. So you can write it down, no problem.
Look, let me see my phone.
Praja Gopal has a question. What is the necessity for Krishna to create all atmas and make them entangled in the ocean of Maya? First of all, why does Krishna need to create so many atmas? Why? Now, we answered that question one time also. In order to be perfect, Krishna cannot only be infinite. If he were only infinite, he'd be lacking something. And how we can say he's perfect? It would not be. His perfection would be marred if he were only infinite. Therefore, he is infinite and infinitesimal simultaneously. He contains both the contradictory qualities of being both infinite and infinitesimal, contradictory properties. And these are both resolved in him nonetheless, reconciled in him, infinite and infinitesimal. So first of all, that's why the living entities are there, is the completeness of the Lord. And why do they become entangled in Maya? Because the infinitesimal, they are infinitesimal. They are subject to forgetfulness of what is their actual relationship with Krishna. They are subject to forgetfulness. That is the finite nature of the infinitesimal living entity means that he doesn't have perfect knowledge. It is the failure of his position, character of his position as having finite knowledge, imperfect knowledge, that leads him to forgetfulness and absorption in the activities of other finite entities, and as and himself as someone who is to be engaged with finite entities rather than with the infinite. And that's how he becomes absorbed in Maya. His absorption in Maya, an illusion, is due to his infinitesimal nature, his inability to properly understand his relationship with the infinite. That's a Sarvat to be. And only way finite can relate to the infinite is in the mood of surrender. Infinite can't be understood by the finite. Only you can surrender to the finite and obey the flow, that is coming, the infinite flow, and not to obey his own infinitesimal motivations. Now that hopefully explains how the entanglement occurs. He becomes attached to the finite mode of existence, separated mode of existence, and therefore forgets his real position. Now, some surrender. like my answer. You have to mute your microphone, Shamsunder. Mute your microphone. Thank you. So we can hear the answer. Some Nitaipu didn't like my answer, probably. No. So this is the next question from Shamsunder. Can we say that the closest a scientist can come to the comprehension of God is the scientist's comprehension of infinity? The closest idea of God is the idea of infinity. No, I don't think that is the only thing they can say. First of all, their idea of infinity is just a mathematical, maybe just a mathematical thing. And that certainly doesn't have, the mathematical infinity certainly doesn't have any quality to create anything. Mathematics, first of all, can't create a blade of grass even. All your mathematics in the world, however complicated it may be, it can't produce anything. So mathematics is abstraction, is abstract thought. That's the meaning of mathematics, abstract thought. You're dealing with quantities. But there's so much more than quantity in this world. There's quality. There's being, becoming, and there's personality. All those things are there. Mathematics can't explain the mathematician. So mathematics is very limited. Infinity is, if they try to do everything from a mathematical point of view, they won't get very far to explain reality. So even they say infinity, that doesn't explain, that does not bring us any closer to the idea of God. Although it may give us some hint about his nature and his difference from our nature. That's possible. But ultimately, if one has to understand God, God means personal. Who is a person, supreme person, is the meaning of God. When we say the word God, we mean the divine person or supreme person. Otherwise, why would we call God? God is a name. Why do we call that all ultimate principle God if we don't mean that he's a person? This comes from where God comes from, religion. And religion addresses the idea of the personal supreme, the supreme person. So as soon as we say God, we're talking about a person, but not an ordinary person, a divine person. And we can say infinite person, but that has, what is the meaning of infinite person? Every person is infinite. Every person, even the infinitesimal person, is infinite. Infinitesimal doesn't mean finite, actually. It means infinitely small. Something more than finite. You can't get to the end of the You can't get to the end of the infinitesimal, so that's why it's called infinitesimal. You can't get to the end of it. Therefore, it is infinite also, but in a small way. Where the infinite is infinite, ending in a big way. Infinitesimal is this, is the other end of the scale. In the smallest possible way, beyond conception, it is infinitesimal. And the infinite is in a big way and beyond any conception. Endless. So even to be a person means infinite automatically. Because a person is not a finite thing, a personality, not a finite thing. I can say, you have such and such personality. Immediately I say, you have such and such personality, you can change. Every person, we can say, or he's a very affectionate person, he may change at any moment. That is the meaning of person. He has free will. He is not limited. Not limited means infinite. So whether it is God or the finite living entity, they're both of the same infinite quality. So the scientist can understand he's a scientist, he's a person. That is the best conception he can have of what is God. When he can understand that I am person, I'm a scientist, it means I am a person. And then you can have some idea what it means, what God is, and that it cannot be, that kind of idea or understanding of things cannot be encompassed by mathematics or physics or chemistry automatically. That's what would be my reply to that question.
Thank you, Maharaj.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you for your question. All right. I think we better close now. Someone else has something to say?
Maharaj, actually, I want to ask one question, Maharaj.
I think we better not ask any more questions, but if you have some comment or something, because it's now late, we don't keep everyone up late. Next time,
okay, Maharaj.
I'll be for next week. Okay. We can ask. All right, then we'll end. My humble dandavat pranams to all. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much.
Jai
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you all for coming or participating.
Hare Krishna.
Jai.